This is the time of the week where we basically trawl through the news cycle, find the three bits of rubbish that absolutely ate everyone's mind share for a while, and the one news story we should have been paying a lot more attention to. Shane Anderson is in charge of this fundamental research. A very good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Fundamental research.
Fundamental research. I think this is one of the most important things that we have to offer.
Yeah, sponsor me.
Yeah, go for it. What has been happening this week?
Look, it's really hard to do this segment every week and not just get a boiling rage when I see things like what the Daily Telegraph has been doing this week.
Now, you are going to have to narrow that down, what the Daily Telegraph has been doing.
I know, right? So I was a bit upset that I missed doing this segment last week and I didn't get to drag them over their horrible front cover, which passed as news. But in a way, it's kind of fortunate that they continue to tread in it just with every single step. And I get to drag them again this week because they put out an infographic called Fat Chance of Being Healthy. Young Aussies Only Have Themselves to Blame. Listing a bunch of statistics that kind of highlight different things about the situation of young people. So 37% of men aged 16 to 24 are obese. Okay. 37.5% of 16 to 24-year-olds binge drink. Okay. Not that surprising. And then a horrible statistic that 16% of secondary school students are same-sex attracted, as if that is some sort of health problem.
What?
It boggles the mind. I honestly don't understand how it fits in with this. Obviously, they have come out and said that people were misinterpreting this infographic and they were just trying to give a snapshot of what young people's lives are like, which is why you give it a headline like Fat Chance of Being Healthy, Young Aussies Only Have Themselves to Blame.
Young Aussies Only Have Themselves to Blame could basically be the masthead of the Daily Telegraph. Daily Telegraph, you know, $1.20, young Aussies only have themselves to blame.
Exactly. This is standard telly fare. And first of all, I do have a problem with this statistic because I really think good luck getting high school students to tell the truth on a survey about their sexuality that's handed to you by the same people that reject same-sex marriage and do things like abolish the safe schools campaign. So first of all, I'm going to cast doubt on that statistic. I won't be surprised if it's much higher.
Noted.
And the telly can go shove their avocado where the sun don't shine.
Okay. Uncomfortable for the Daily Telly. I can see we're getting a round of applause from Studio 2 over there for that one. What's next?
Right. So we're not moving too far from my favourite topic, which is Australian politics. I didn't even know that Malcolm Turnbull was in the UK. But he is, and he met the Queen this week.
He did.
How exciting. I feel like everyone in the UK just, it's really bog standard to meet the Queen. Like, she's just, like, in her little car down the street, waving out the window. It's just not that out of the ordinary. And she's clearly sick of it, because she hasn't shown emotion on her face for about 20 years.
Only savage delight occasionally, I think, but that's it.
So there's this glorious photo that was released that is just, oh, it's awful. It's extremely awkwardly posed. Like, they're kind of standing apart from each other and facing away from each other, like they're waiting to be staged on a theatre. And it's just the most piece of rubbish. Like, it's some sort of souvenir photo. Like, you swoop in, meet the Queen, shake hands, go out. And probably the biggest piece of not news that came out of this was Turnbull, who proved once and for all that doublethink is the dominant mode of governance by claiming to be both a Republican and an Elizabethan.
That was just absolutely mystifying statement.
I really felt like I've aired my political views just a tiny bit on this segment before, and being a Republican was like the one thing I agreed with Malcolm Turnbull on, and now even that's gone. There's nothing left.
I'm really, look, on some level, and bear with me here, I almost feel a bit sorry for Malcolm, because at no point was he going to make everyone happy by doing that. If he didn't meet the Queen, people were going to be up in arms. If he did meet, his foot was in the corgi poop no matter which one he did.
He's really trying to make everyone happy. The only way he could be both a Republican and an Elizabethan is if he was referring to the Cate Blanchett movies.
Clearly. Maybe that's what he meant.
I'm assuming. I'm going to take that as he's a big fan of Cate Blanchett's historical films.
Is she good or just tall?
No. We've been through this before. And Val Kilmer is an amazing actor.
What's the third story we should have been paying attention to?
Okay, look, I expended a lot of energy on the first two, and all I've got in my notes is two words: dancing hot dog.
Dancing hot dog.
Dancing hot dog.
You are going to have to tell me what that is. I'm too old to know your cool youth lingo.
Well, I think this is a little bit beyond me as well. So it's a thing that comes up on the app Snapchat, which both of us use a lot.
All the time.
We're very plugged in.
Yeah, that's me.
And what it does is you take a photo and it pops up with a dancing hot dog cartoon somewhere in the photo. And this has just sent the internet into meltdown.
I don't.
Meltdown.
Okay.
News.com.au is loving it.
Sure they are. Why wouldn't they?
It's fueling their newsfeed. That's pretty much it. I mean, it's just a hot dog that dances.
Tell you what, Snapchat, if you can find a way of making sure it covers up an unsolicited dick pic that are being sent around, that'd probably be quite interesting, quite useful.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's somewhere along the production line. That's what it was for. But really, all we've just got is heaps of photos everywhere of a dancing hot dog, and that's the only words I've got, and that's all I have to say on it.
That's okay. Take us out with something that we should have been paying attention to.
Yeah. Look, this weekend, there was the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons held at the UN.
Hmm.
Now, we've talked about this on the program before.
We have.
So this treaty passed. So it was 122-1 with the Netherlands voting against it, of course.
The Netherlands?
And interestingly, all the nuclear states didn't attend, including Australia. So Australia didn't even want to be involved in the discussion, which is something we've talked about on Not News before.
I know, but still galls me every time.
Yeah, Australia has a history of testing nuclear weapons. So something interesting that happened at this treaty discussion was a group of Indigenous leaders who were impacted by the Maralinga test bombings that Australia did between 1952 and 1963 actually went over to the UN to talk to them about how nuclear weapons disproportionately impacts Indigenous peoples. And it was incredible. And have a look online. You can kind of see what these people have been saying about it. This wonderful woman called Karina Lester, who we actually spoke to on The Wire before she went over.
Wow.
And it's an incredible story. They're incredible people. And them taking a stance against nuclear weapons when our government won't, it's depressing, but it's also heartening.
It is heartening, but also I did not see that widely reported. So The Wire is the place to be if you want to have a listen to that at a rough guess.
Independent news and current affairs.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And far more worthwhile than, what are we talking about, dancing hot dogs, the non-monarchist meeting the Queen.
Yes.
And we kicked it all off. I'm just going to say daily telly.
Yeah.
Just leave it
umbrella
at that.
Umbrella term.
Umbrella term, daily telly. Shane Anderson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.